From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm the man beyond your puny power to comprehend. That's right, I'm inconceivable, Bill Curtis. And here is your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you, everybody. Great to see you. So, this week was the celebration of American independence, or as it's now called, American independence. It was great while it lasted.
On today's holiday spectacular edition, we review some of the best interviews from the past few months, plus some questions, bits, and rants that have never been aired before.
We'll start with one of the great bald entertainers of our time. Well, one of the other great ones. Band leader Paul Schaefer joined us last March, and I asked him if it was true he started his road to superstardom by working on a Canadian production of Godspell.
Well, yes, that is absolutely true. And the year was 1972, and I had just graduated from college in Toronto. I was playing bar mitzvahs and weddings and anything else I could. And then I just had an audition. I was playing for a girlfriend who was auditioning for this show, Godspell, the 70s rock musical about Jesus, working with Martin Short, Gilda Radner, Eugene Levy, Dave Thomas, Andrea Martin, Victor Garber, all these hilarious people who are still my best friends.
Yeah, and everybody knows that once you music direct a production of Godspell in Toronto, the next step is international fame in New York City.
Well, who else has done it? I'm the only one who's done this, though. Now
Well, now that we've publicized it, I'm hoping young, ambitious musicians will all want to music direct.
Well, they're all going to want to try, but not everybody, you know, has the looks that I have.
That's true. Speaking of looks, the Late Night with David Letterman, you were with him for so long. It's been in the air, off the air now for about 3 years. How long is your beard?
Yes, that's right. David has... his beard has his own agent now.
I know.
That's how serious he's gotten about it.
Was the relationship we saw between you two on camera for so many years, was that like how you were in real life?
I would say so. Yes, I would say so. And we still get together every 3-4 weeks. You know, he's endlessly entertaining, and once in a while I can make him laugh too.
Really?
And that's what the relationship was based on.
He seemed, and this is actually one of the reasons why it was so much fun to watch you guys, is you genuinely liked him, obviously, but he seemed to just love you. Every time he turned to his right to see you, he seemed to be delighted that he found Paul Schaefer there. Like, it was a wonderful surprise. Like, oh my gosh, it's Paul Schaefer. I love that guy.
I don't know what to say, but he was very sweet. What can I tell you? He was a wonderful guy to work for, and he heard every single musical note that we played for 33 years. It was always very encouraging.
Right.
Except he didn't like jazz. He didn't want us to play too much jazz.
Yeah, well.
That, though.
You were a sidekick. Did you? And this is not what you trained to do. Obviously, you're a gifted musician and arranger. Did you, like, study on how to be a sidekick before you took on that job with Letterman?
I don't think I had to go to any kind of sidekick school.
Yeah. So you're about to go out on tour with your band. Your first single is Happy Street, and you brought in an amazing guest vocalist to front you. It's Bill Murray.
He's fantastic on it. Yeah, Billy Murray, who has been a friend, you know, since before Saturday Night Live. We used to do things together for the National Lampoon Radio Hour.
Oh, my God.
In 74.
Yeah.
We go back, yes. And he was, you know, so sweet to do this. Absolutely. Thank you all. And he worked very hard on this vocal. He really wanted to sound good, and he does. He does a sort of a Dean Martin, relaxed kind of thing.
Do you have any other guest vocalists we might be interested in hearing about?
Yes, yes. Jenny Lewis sings a song called Sorrow, that Bowie cover that he did on that Pinups album. Dion, the great Dion, the Wanderer himself.
Really? Dion?
A beautiful song. Yeah, the actual Dion, phenomenal. There were guests on the album, Darius Rucker from Hootie and the Blowfish.
Hootie? Hootie.
Hootie himself. And,
you should have led with that, man.
And Shaggy. We have Hootie and Shaggy.
You have Hootie and Shaggy.
Shaggy, you know, the great Jamaican dance hall guy. So Hootie and Shaggy on one record. I mean, we are doubly blessed.
That's true. I don't know anybody else can compete. Some people might have Hootie. Some people might have Shaggy. You have Hootie.
Nobody would have Hootie and Shaggy.
And Shaggy.
No, yeah.
So
Thanks for noticing.
We were researching you, and we came across a bit of trivia that you were at one time offered the role of George Costanza on Seinfeld.
Well, yes. My wife hates it, but I got this call from Letterman. Jerry Seinfeld's getting a show. He wants you to be his sidekick. And I was just, you know, so busy. And I said, well, Jerry Seinfeld, what could he possibly do on television?
Yes.
And yes, only, you know, the most beloved show in the history of television. But yes, you know, I was too big for my britches, and I could have been Jason Alexander. My own parents, God bless them, they said the most wonderful thing to me. Well, you wouldn't have been any good in the role. God bless them. That's what parents are for.
I agree. Well, Paul Schaefer, we are delighted to talk to you, but we have invited you here to play a game that this time we're calling...
Holy supporting role, Batman.
So for decades, you were one of the great TV sidekicks, but you're not a true sidekick, in our view, unless you put on matching tights and follow a superhero around. So we're going to ask you three questions about comic book and other kinds of pop superhero sidekicks. If you get two right, you'll win our prize for one of our listeners. That's Carl Castle's voice on their voicemail. Bill, who is Paul Schaefer playing for?
Daniel Patterson of Roanoke, Virginia.
All right. Here we go. First question. Not all sidekicks are young and eager helpers like Robin. Which of these was a real sidekick to comic book hero Captain Marvel? A, Mom Marvel, his actual mother, whose signature line was, "You're not going out dressed like that, are you?"
Funny, yeah.
B, yes. B, Lieutenant Normal, an insurance actuary who would constantly advise Captain Marvel of the risks of his latest adventure. Or C, Uncle Marvel, an older, chubby guy who pretended to be a superhero but just wore tights and ran around making dad jokes.
Yeah, so I'm going to say Lieutenant Normal, but only because it reminds me of the British recording artist Captain Sensible, who I used to love.
Well, I wish it was, but it was actually Uncle Marvel.
Okay.
He faked it. When asked why he wasn't using his supposed superpowers, he would say his, quote, Shazambigo was acting up. Dad jokes. All right.
Pretty funny. All right.
Comic book sidekicks do not get the cool names. Those go to the heroes. Yeah. Comic book hero Mr. Scarlet, back in the 1940s. Mr. Scarlet had a sidekick named what? A, Pinky the Whiz Kid. B, Scarlet's Pimple. Or C, the Surprising Squirt.
Well, I have been known in my day as the Surprising Squirt, so... I am going to, that will be my guess.
You're going to go for the Surprising Squirt.
Yes, sir.
No, I wish it were. It was actually Pinky the Whiz Kid. Pinky the Whiz Kid was the name of Captain.
That would have been my second choice, of course.
Mr. Scarlet's hero. You get one more chance here to get this right. Last question. We would have seen one of our beloved heroes finally get a sidekick if only the script had actually been made. Which of these actually exists as a screenplay? A, Batman and Robin and Ted and Alice.
Right.
B, Serial, the animated series where Sarah Koenig solves crimes with the help of Lil Ira, the talking radio. Or C, Forrest Gump 2, which finds Forrest Gump fighting in Desert Storm with Sue, his sidekick orangutan.
All right, well, to me, it's got to be the second choice.
Serial, the animated series.
Yes.
Where intrepid hero Sarah Koenig solves crimes. Help me, little Ira. Yes, Sarah? That's your guess. I like your style, Paul Schaefer. Even though the answer was actually Forrest Gump 2, there wasn't a commissioned but unproduced screenplay in which Forrest Gump did, in fact, also crash the Exxon Valdez and invent New Coke and fight the battles of Desert Storm.
Well, wait a second, I was unproduced. Who wrote it? You wrote it, and now it's like a question.
I did not write it.
It was unproduced.
Yes.
I protest.
Bill, how did Paul Schaefer do in our quiz?
Paul, as one sidekick to another.
Yes.
This is the Chicago way. We're going to call you a winner anyway.
There you go. Paul Schaefer's new album, Paul Schaefer and the World's Most Dangerous Band, is out now. Paul Schaefer, thank you so much. It was such a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you. Take care.
Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye, Paul.